Just do it. So I think my favorite next slogan. At the beginning, it's a numbers game. Don't compare to others. A no is a no for the moment. It's not a definite no.
That's Katharina Tostia, top performing in the art deal front. In 2023, Katharina achieved an impressive 133% of her sales target in Q3, exceeded expectation with 117% in Q2, starting the year strong with 120% in Q1. She's already smashing her annual quota by crossing the 100% mark for the fiscal year of 2023. In today's episode, you will learn how Katharina structured her cold calls, how she focused her calls on understanding her prospect and being present on the calls, and how to go after a new buyer persona. Katharina, can you walk us through how you approach cold calling in the DACH region?
There are different types to reach out to the DACH audience, but I think the mainly parts that would be like chosen is cold calling, because we have like really traditional, sometimes really traditional industries. Emailing, cold email sometimes, and it's coming more and more LinkedIn.
Nice. And I know that for maybe the listeners who don't know, that for me, I tried to prospect a bit in the DACH region in the past. I'm not a German speaker, so I think it was a tough region if you don't speak German, actually. So, and I know the DACH region, so they might be not the most used to get sales calls, or for example. So how do you think the DACH region is different if you compare to the rest of Europe in terms of prospecting?
I think for the DACH region to say, it's important to do your homework before that. They want to know, okay, if I'm just a number on your sheet, or did you really want to talk with me? So doing like your homework upfront, knowing who is the person, what topic is on their top mind, and maybe from their position in the company or posting something like for you example, I know about you that you have your podcast and just mention it. It makes a little bit warmer, I think, than just, okay, you're just a name, it's on my sheet and pitch right in front of your face.
Because you want to show them some, you have done some research to get start the conversation with your prospects.
Always, yeah.
Always.
Always.
Yeah. But I think that's a really good tip for other regions. So not just for the DACH region.
No, really, really doing like your homework. I had just a conversation with a prospect today and he said, look, everyone tries to call me through the gatekeeper, but I have every information, for example, on LinkedIn. How you can reach out to me and no one is doing that. And I assume you didn't like look on my profile. You don't know what my company is for. And yeah, this is too generic and I'm not going to open my email from you or pick up the phone if I'm not knowing like the number.
That's a really good point. So something I lately have been doing, because on my side right now, I'm more on the opposite side. So I'm not the SDR, but I'm also the prospect. Something I've realized, I try to categorize every email that I'm getting or messaging on LinkedIn. I try to see if they've done their research. So generally they don't, but the main mistake I'm seeing generally is because they didn't do the research. They don't know the business I'm working for, but also they're not looking for my title, because sometimes I'm receiving emails where saying, hey, we can help you with English lessons, for example. So I'm not speaking English well enough, but the point is, if my company is remote, you should assume that normally if I will use English as the main language of the company, so maybe we're not the best fit, for example, for this type of company. That's maybe going to take them to one minute to 2 minutes to find that. That's a good point. So now that you started to talk about cold calls, we'd love to understand your approach with cold calling. How do you structure your cold call? Do you use a script? Do you use a framework? So what's your process with cold calls?
I'm really free with what I'm saying on the phone. When I started, like we had like a little script, how it can be done. Just doing the cold calls or doing the cold outreach, there's no script for me and also like for my colleagues, because everyone is unique and have their different approach, or their different type type of approach. So imagine. Just knowing like your ICP, who are you helping at the end, how you can help them, and maybe make assume how you can help, and also, okay, by the title or by the information that you are getting from the prospect, from their profile, from the company profile, just pitching this one specifically in your outreach, but no script. Trying to connect really fast, because yeah. there's always, okay, do you have like 20 minutes? It's a call. Do you have 20 minutes to tell you why I'm calling? You can pitch up front. It's nothing wrong with that. But yeah. Especially for the German market, I think it's more fun, and the conversation is going more fluent if, not straight away. Just, okay, do your research before that and trying to make it really personal.
No script. But for example, let's say, can you talk, you were mentioning earlier, you were talking about a specific prospect. Can you walk us through the way you approached this prospect? What did you find about this prospect? But then how did you, call this person? And if so, what did you say on the phone?
Just, doing the research, and it depends who I wanted to speak to. Normally it's sales, marketing. And for my company perspective, it's also like the IT department, because we also help a lot of them. It depends. I know for sure, okay, sales is always about reaching like or creating revenue for the company. Marketing, it's about brand awareness, and also calculating ads or Google ads or general ads are expensive, and they want to calculate, okay, who is my target group, who I want to reach out to make it more efficient at the end, and also provide sales with the information, with leads at the end. And for IT department, usually also for, I can only speak for the DACH region, it's there are companies who grow traditionally, so they're big ones, they have a huge database. But they have the problem that sometimes it's old data and not enriched data. So I reach out for the, for example, IT department always, okay, this is maybe a problem that you are facing right now, that sales and or marketing, they are getting like the company data from you, from your sites, from, for example, a CRM system, but they're old. They're not really speaking to the right person. The prospect isn't working anymore for the company, or they tried to send an email and it bounced already. Knowing who you want to reach out and focus on this specific cases, I think this is like the key.
Can you give us an example of a cold call you've done recently? How you start your calls, and then how you start asking questions? How you show that you've made your research, and then the question you ask? Could you share an example with us?
For example, if you would be like my prospect, yep. I really would like to, like, again, the research, and I would mention, okay, on the last on your last podcast review, you talked about this one. Is this something that is also like relevant, like a near right position right now? And seeing, okay, you are hiring at the moment RevOps, SDRs, for example, also trying to put it in the first sentence, and then making maybe an estimation. This would be like, okay, you are hiring new SDRs, how you provide them with data and helping them reaching their goals for Q4 or the next year. Is there something there that you already use, for example? Do you have a strategy? And trying like to keep them talking, to give me like information, sometimes really making assumption, because people like to correct you.
Yeah.
And if they don't correct you, then, it's maybe door one or door two that you mentioned before. And from that on, trying to like, lead the conversation.
Okay, and I understand for the way you are doing this here, because I remember when we are preparing the episode, you mentioned that you are really focusing on trying to understand your prospect. You are not pitching. You, based on your research, you want to have like maybe for the word I'm using for this is your point of view. You want to understand their world from your research. So, and then you start asking questions about this specifically.
Yeah, for sure. One prospect I reached out, I saw, or I Googled some information, and I saw he had like on Google a picture with sailing. And trying from that one, okay, you are a sailing man, and usually for sailing you need this and this knots, I think, or this ropes techniques. So you have to learn them. This is also something that you have to do doing your outreach, understanding or knowing like the rope techniques to be really successful and sail your way to the world. Yeah, this would be like really personalized. I did my research and make it personal at the end. Make it really personal and not so cold.
Before we talk specifically how you engage your conversation, I had some question around, for example, how many cold calls do you make per day?
It depends a little bit. At the beginning, it was, let's say, it's a numbers game at the beginning. And to learn or starting as they are, make as many calls and trying to speak as to many people as possible, because there are the learnings from. But at the moment, I'm going to the senior part of the being an SDR.
Yeah.
It's more about not the quantity, it's more about the quality.
Yep.
I can't say like how many calls I am making. I can for surely say that my conversation sometimes takes me 10, 15 minutes, and trying like to having understanding for the main points that are interesting for the prospect, and really trying to figure out if our solution and if I forward a meeting to the account executive, if it's going to be like a meaningful and a happy meeting. At the moment, it's not so much a numbers game. I'm concentrating more, okay, how forward I can get my opportunity. And so less calls, but good calls, and they really go forward, and it's always a happy meeting for everyone.
Yes.
For the AE, for the prospect. But I still for the beginning, it's a numbers game. Try to speak to as many industry and different industry like possible.
I think new SDRs think, for example, they are going to compare themselves with the top performer. So for example, in this case, it will be you, but someone who is just starting in the role, he will say maybe, oh yeah, but Katharina is not making that much calls, so I should match this number. But the thing that they don't see is you already have the knowledge, you already understand your ICP by your persona, but yes, you're making less calls, but your conversion rate is way higher than someone else on the team. And that's why you don't need the same amount of call. But when you start, like you are saying, it's more about the number.
Yeah.
Because you need one to learn about if you are new to cold calling. The second thing is the ICP and the buyer personas, the way you engage your conversation. So you can't compare Katharina numbers in terms of number of cold calls to yours, because you are going to not be successful if you do that. So like you said, I think it's super relevant is focus on the numbers and not what, for example, the performer will be doing.
And again, when I started, I made as many as possible. I concentrated only on cold calls. I didn't really reach out via mail, maybe a follow-up mail if they need more information, maybe. But only my focus on the first like half a year. Yeah, till now, I think, till like the summer, it was okay, put your numbers.
Get
your numbers high, and again, trying to understand like your prospect, different industry. If you had a use case that worked really well from the AE's perspective, and trying to build it up. But for this one, you have to have the conversation. You have to understand your market.
I have a question, because now you are the second guest on the show saying that you are just focusing on cold calls. So why did you choose cold calls and, for example, not another channel? Why did you, when you joined, did you just focus on cold calls?
Especially for the DACH region, it's still, for DACH, cold call is not that. they are starting to get more on LinkedIn, fintech companies, HR tech companies. They don't even like have a gatekeeper number. So they don't really have a number to reach out to them. They only have like their LinkedIn profile, maybe a mail. So the focusing is always, okay, different industries, but it's you have a higher chance to reach out via cold call or via phone. So it's still not that for the DACH region. It started to change a little bit, but for my first learning, it was still cold call. Mailing started to increase because sometimes the decision maker isn't so easy to reach out via phone. It's still like a secretary before that. So she always said, okay, just send him an email, and then trying to personalize a really cool email for him. But yeah, this I think this is the only reason. For the DACH, it's still cold calling, having GDPR compliant number. This is also an important part. You don't want to talk to the grandparents of your prospect. I think this is the main reason. And to be quite honest, you are getting the right feedback. If you are having them on the phone, you can say, okay, is it the right fit for both of us, or it's not the right fit? Email, sometimes it's going forward and afterwards, and there may be questions. But in a call, you are getting right feedback. You are getting direct answers. So it's still call.
That's a good point. And also why generally from cold emails or LinkedIn messages, for example, I'm going to give an example, but I'm not saying that the same for every prospect, but on my side, if I'm seeing that they didn't do the research and then I said not interested and that's it, and I don't read the full email because like I was saying earlier, they didn't do the research. So I'm just saying not interested and that's it. So at least they get the reply, but you don't know why they're not interested because on the phone, you can ask, okay, maybe not saying why you are not interested, but you want to understand that. And on the phone, you can do that. And on email and LinkedIn, you can do that.
You can always like rephrase it. Okay, you're not interested. That could mean this. Which one? Again, asking and you're getting feedback. The only point, okay, he or she is going to hang up. This is also going to happen in an email ghosting you or on LinkedIn. But you have a chance to just ask a little bit more.
Exactly.
Rephrase it, ask a little bit more. Okay, I saw you now have a new CRM system. For example, a new CRM system. And this is is on top of mind for your department. Is it something that assume or is the reason why you gave me the information? Okay, not interesting. Is it at the moment? Maybe it's for the future. What is going to happen in the future?
The uncertainty could be a brush off. That could be a timeline issue. That could be they don't have the budget. So obviously that's an objection. Generally, you want to go a bit deeper. So something also you mentioned when we are preparing the episode, you mentioned that you are present on your call. What do you mean being present on your calls?
Listen, there's this sentence, active listening. How I said before, rephrase something. Having just an understanding, if your prospect gives you a straight answer, having understanding, yeah, I know it, this is maybe an issue because of political issues. It doesn't matter what, just having an understanding. Okay. And from this understanding, what does it really mean at the end? There's always the favorite question of my director. If someone gives you an answer, what does it really mean? From that one, ask it. Look and be honest about it. Look, I'm not in your industry. What does it really mean? What kind of impact does it have on this cases? More questions leads you not only to just book meetings, but it leads you to have an understanding. Why not? Because I did my research. We know we have the use case. We can provide you with this, this, this. We usually help you in this room with this, this, this. Why you say, okay, no, why? this is the big one. Why? What does it mean?
No, that's a good point. And I think that's go back to what you were saying earlier. It's you want to be fair here and trying to understand what they're saying and if you can help them, obviously.
And keep the conversation floating. Yeah.
Also, something else you mentioned also that you are really good at managing the timing objection. So let's say a prospect who said, contact me in 3 months or contact me in Q2 in 2024. So but the first question I have on this is, how do you handle the objection or when you have a prospect on the phone saying, hey, sorry, contact me in 6 months? How do you approach this objection?
Heavy understanding for this answer. Okay, contact you in 6 months. What is going to happen in the 6 months? Why we should like continue really in 6 months?
Yeah,
I'm gonna call you. I'm a fan of follow-ups. I love it. I love to interact with my prospects and not just a call, just an email. I nurture them. I really nurture them. Sometimes my colleagues make fun of me how long I nurture them. For me, it's important. Okay, what is really happening in this 6 months? To if I'm calling you in 6 months, to go from that point on and not putting again, okay, what is happening, or no, I know what happened, what priority had been in the 6 months. Okay, it's finished. From that one, that point on, how it's going to proceed in through sales, IT, marketing department, what are the new priorities on from your side? Again, when you reach out, it's not, who are you? No. You're gonna remember I had a good feel, not a good feeling, this is not a word. I had an understanding, and sometimes they are happy that you have understanding for their current situation. And they are happy. They're gonna pick up the phone again because they know, okay, I gave her that information, she had an understanding. He's not ignoring me because I've pushed to a meeting. He is gonna or she is gonna willing to pick up the phone, give me again a follow status quo,
yep,
and continue the conversation. So I'm a fan of follow-ups, and also I'm a fan of the understanding what is happening in this time frame and where we can like go from the 6 month.
So okay, now I understand why you are doing this way, because you try to understand the timeline on their side, and instead of pushing for a meeting, instead of saying yeah, but let's have a meeting right now when maybe it's not the best time, but yeah.
For sure. And I think it's gonna, the risk of a no-show is much higher if I still push to this meeting and it's not priority because other things are priority.
Yeah.
The no-show rate is gonna go up, I think. If I'm push my will and having like the meeting, they're not going to come. They're not going to buy at the moment because it's not priority.
And then the second thing I think you did well here, it's the nurturing. And that's actually something that we don't talk about enough with prospects specifically, because generally it's on the SDR team, we assume that, for example, the marketing team on this. But I think from a prospecting aspect of this, specifically if you have a prospect saying, contact me in 6 months, I think you also need to manage this process, because like you said, when you are going to call them back, they're going to remember your name, because one, you respected their timeline, and two, you are the person in charge of the nurturing, not for the marketing email nurturing them, because obviously for people that are remembering other people instead of just the brand. So I think that's a good thing. So now let's talk about when you have this prospect, but the timeline is over, so let's say the 6 months are over. So how do you contact this person again? So what's your approach?
It's usually again via phone, because I have the number. I reach out via with telephone, so it's gonna be again a telephone number. Sometimes they really give me their mobile number. Yeah, you can reach out to me. You can reach me out better on this number, and I always have like in mind what is happening in the company. I'm in a good position working like for Dealfront. we have specific triggers on this part. So I always know what is going on company-wise. So I know if they're hiring someone, if there was a management change, for example, that management change means always there are going to be like new impacts or new strategies ahead. I always have a look on what is happening in, on the company part. And so I use this information for also my follow-up. And again, their information, they are key. And the prospect feels seen. I know what's going on. I know that maybe if he said, for example, 6 months, then I'm reaching out sometimes a little bit ahead of the 6 months because I saw or I got the trigger points. This change happened in this company. Maybe it makes sense, more sense, to talk a little bit further than the 6 months. Always keep an eye on the company, what is happening, what is going on. So trying to do it like this way.
And I think that if we talk just about the respecting the timeline here with your prospects, so recently, before my current company, right now I'm working at Agropol, so we are working with marketing leaders. At my previous role, I was working with technical leaders, so data leaders specifically. And something I've learned with them specifically is they are not used to get prospected if you compare to marketing leaders or sales leaders. And something I realized is, for example, you can't try to overcome the objection the same way. So if a technical leader is saying he's not interested or is saying contact me in 6 months, you want to handle that the way, okay, I'm going to contact you in 6 months. And they are going to be more receptive if you do this instead of trying to overcome the objection and say, yeah, but we should meet next week just to see if you are interested or not, for example, because in sales, generally, if you talk to a VP of sales, a VP of sales will be really, oh, okay, this sales person tried to convince me, okay, I'm going to give them a shot. But a technical leader, they won't. So they're going to say, okay, they're going to say the F word and they're going to hang up because you didn't respect what you didn't listen to what they were saying. So I think that's a really good. But what you are saying in the DACH region, I think that's pretty much the same situation with technical leaders in other regions. But
I think that there are like four personas. I don't know how it's called in English. There are the blue one, the yellow one, the green one, the red one, the really direct one. I also we had like a course on the specific personas. I think at the beginning. And again, mirror a little bit your prospect. And if it's a red one, you can objection handling right away. He would love it.
That's a good point. Yeah.
If it's a blue one, maybe he needs more information. He needs data. He needs facts. He needs numbers. If it's a yellow one, I think I'm open to it. But maybe it's the sales process is going to take a little bit longer. And also with the green one, this would be like a recommendation. Know what kind of persona you are talking to and trying to be a little bit like them, trying to speak their language, their maybe directness or their number focused.
What you just mentioned, they are the DISC profiles, actually. So I'm just going to read it just so far, because if someone is not, they don't know it. So
yeah.
The red one is the dominant person. The yellow one is the influential person. And then we have the green one, we are the steady person. And then the blue one, compliant person. That's the four DISC profiles. So, and same, I studied them. But sometimes, yeah, that's a really good point you mentioned because that's something you want to understand also with the profile of your prospect when you talk to them. At the beginning of the conversation, you were talking about the different type of buyer personas you're going after, sales, marketing, and the IT department. You were mentioning the way you approach them. And when we are preparing the episode, you mentioned that IT is not a common target generally when you join, but then you started to explore it. So we'd love to understand, how did you think about talking to IT? How did you start prospecting the IT department actually?
I started to interact a lot with our mid-market AEs. And they have like different industries they are focused on. So I've learned a lot from their part, because I'm not just booking meetings. I also have like the introduction to the call, because I was the first one who reached out to them. And I think it's good for the buyer personas to lead also the way and not, okay, I have my meetings, bye. This is like the way we are doing it here. I got a lot of feedback about the traditional industry, German market, and it's everything like leaded from the IT department part, because they are with data. They are always working with the data. They have to provide data for sales and marketing. They are working with the CRM system. They are controlling the CRM system. This is like a use case or a buyer persona, the IT department, from inbound.
Yeah.
Because they really requested from the IT department. And then, oh, look, it's not always sales. It's not always marketing. It's also the IT department who have sometimes difficulties and are searching for a solution that, for example, Dealfront provides. I started, okay, going deeper into the use case, what is really important, and what parts are important, what they are focused, and what parts we are solving, and use case pitches a little bit from use cases that I've learned from demos, from requests,
okay.
And starting from this part on, to take it also for the outbound or the cold outreach departments.
Okay. What strategies do you use when you contact, for example, an IT department? I know you are talking about a few use cases at the beginning, but could you give an example of how you approach an IT prospect recently?
A little bit of numbers to, thing like the or mention numbers. How much a lot of, yeah, departments, sales or marketing are missing because the data is incorrect or old. Also, if there is like information that I received, okay, they want to expand to different countries, they need some information on this specific one, but they don't have it because usually their industry or their region was, for example, DACH, and they want to expand to Europe or to the Nordics. So they don't know how to get them, because they're not doing cold call, usually sales, because they have big database or marketing. They always count on IT to give them their information. So trying to get it this way. And yeah, playing some numbers or mention some numbers, what kind of impact would it be like for the other departments that maybe they are not aware of.
And we are almost at the end of the episode. So now I have a few more questions for you, but more focused on you and your focus on learning. So how do you continuously improve your prospecting skills and stay ahead in this evolving field?
Talking to others, talking to AEs, I think the relationship between SDRs and AEs should be like really close. I'm in a happy position being like in the headquarters of ours here in Karlsruhe. And so we are not far away from each other. Listen to calls and really going, not doing the meeting, really going forward, meeting, discovery, exploratory call, demo, negotiation. Listen to a lot of podcasts like yours. We have in Germany, we have, I can mention SDRs of Germany. This is a cool community to, if you are starting to be there, they have some really cool like learnings that you can get from. Because SDR is not so famous, or being SDR is not so famous in Germany or in yeah. That region. I once asked our VP of sales, what is really important to you? To just understanding, okay, in your position, what is, if someone reached out to you, called, what would be like something that catches your eye? Also from marketing side. And yeah, still stay curious. There's not only one way to do it. There are different ways. Find your, yeah, or personal one. And stay curious. Just stay curious. Everything is new. Every call is new. Every prospect is new.
The more you know about the job, the more you think you don't need to learn anymore. And I think you still need to have like this, I would say for me, it's like the beginner mindset of always trying to learn new things or staying curious, because even though you think you know the industry, you can still learn a few things about your prospects. You mentioned the SDR of Germany. So actually I had Mattia and Elena on the show. They were in the 10 first episodes of the show actually. And we were talking about obviously SDR of Germany. So yeah, really like the community for the DACH region, I think, if you want to learn more about sales. And last question for you, specifically, if we talk about tips, what tips will you give to someone who wants to improve their cold calling skills? And what advice should they ignore?
Just do it. This is a really good, this is, I think, my favorite Nike slogan. Just do it. It's at the beginning, it's a numbers game.
Yeah.
Don't compare to others, because this was something that I struggled at the beginning. I really struggled.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know something about being an SDR or doing call, and there were like some good tips, and I concentrated so much doing it this way, for example, with the script, and it didn't work for me. It didn't work. Make it unique. Do it in your own way. Again, stay curious. A no is a no for the moment. It's not a definite no. And advice that I would give, don't listen to. Sales is not white or black. It's really colorful. Just be yourself and do it your own way.
I love what you mentioned about don't compare yourself to others. Because I think in sales, if you want to grow and improve in your SDR skills or sales skills in general, the only person you are competing with is yourself and not the others. Because if you want to improve, I think the question you need to ask you is, if I am a better version of myself, if I'm comparing to my old version of a year ago, for example, and instead of competing with, like, for example, because I think the biggest mistake is they are doing when they start also is comparing themselves with the top performer when they are in their first SDR role, for example. And if you are comparing yourself with someone who already 3 years in the role, for example, well, you still have a lot of things to learn. So you should focus more on yourself and what you need to improve on.
Yeah, but this is going to be like lead to success. You are unique, stay unique, and do it like your unique way.
Exactly. So Katharina, we are at the end of the episode. So before we end the episode, do you have anything else you want to share with the audience?
This was my first podcast, so it was really exciting for me. I love that there are a lot of input out there to just learn, and it's not just about selling the pen. It's a really colorful and fun job. So
thank you so much for being on the show, and for everyone listening, I see you on the next episode. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. So for Spotify, to leave a review, what you can do is you can use your phone, then go on the Spotify app, then you go to the SDR Game page, and then at the top of the page, you can leave a review. It's a 5-star review if you enjoyed the episode, obviously. And then if you are listening to this episode on Apple Podcasts, feel free also to leave a review on your app. Thanks for listening, and I see you on the next episode.